Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Seed of wisdom, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And even young people, the purpose is to be trained, oneself trained, spiritually, doctrinally, and pedagogically, with a view then to teaching the faith to others. The Catholic Church is going through the most severe crisis of our 2,000 years of history. As I think I've said in previous conferences, my Vatican superiors tell me, barring a miracle, whole dioceses in the United States will disappear. Let me repeat, barring a miracle, whole dioceses in the United States will disappear. The widespread loss of faith among the clergy, among religious, and among the laity. And this is not just a recommendation, but a request of the Holy See to form an association of Catholic catechists. The Catholic catechists already exist as Marian catechists. That's the name by which we are called. There are some 60 members so far in the United States. The hope is we will have numbers in every diocese in America. As I've shared with you on a previous occasion, the most astounding missionary achievement in the Church's history is what happened in Africa with 450,000 Catholics left in Africa in 1900 after 13 centuries of Muslim persecution. 450,000 Catholics left in the whole of Africa in 1900. Then, by training the laity to evangelize and catechize, the figure for 1990 for Africa, 74 million. The United States has to be reconverted to the Catholic faith. These are my directives from Rome. And let me tell you that word reconversion is not a figure of speech. You then, on this level, received, I believe it was 4 pages, describing the Association of Catholic Catechists and a 1-page questionnaire. You may fill that questionnaire if you wish here or you want to. Well, turn it in later on, either next Sunday or mail it in. My address is on the last page of the description of the Association of Catholic Catechists. As most of you know, my office is right here. The address is 13,800 Gratiot Avenue, Detroit, Michigan, 48205. You also received today, or you should have received copies of my outline on the real presence. Did you? I cannot see well. How many, put up your hands, how many received that? Good. Also another. I believe this one is 3 pages on the papacy. Moreover, you should have received a 1-page printout from the Westminster Confession of Faith, in which the Pope is called the Antichrist. The Pope as Antichrist is part of the official literature of all Protestant denominations in the world. Do you hear me? You wonder why the Holy Father is persecuted. Then another printout from 1, 2, or more pages of the Holy Father, Pope Paul VI, encyclical on the mystery of faith, which is on the real presence. Now, and for these classes is, as I've said, to cover the 2 subjects of the Holy Eucharist as real presence and the opposition to the papacy over the centuries, and consequently the need that we have to understand the role of the Vicar of Christ and be able to defend the papacy in our own lives. The hope is that we'll have time for questions, and we should have a box or something to be passed around for asking questions, and I'll do my best to answer as many questions as I can during our class sessions. However, I've decided this year to answer as many questions as I can within the reasonable time at our disposal, and then to take the unanswered questions, unanswered here, that is, and answer them on tape, and then make those tapes available as audio tapes along with the tapes for this course. Am I clear? I'll answer as many questions as I can during our period here, and then the others, I will answer, record the answers, and make the tapes with the questions and answers available. And for a Mass, as we have been having now over the several years, well, last year here, immediately after our class session ends, I now have 5 minutes or 7 to 2. About after the second class ends, he will have Mass at the convent, in the convent chapel. And today, is exactly 60 years since I've entered the Society of Jesus. Celebrated or concelebrated with Father Perron, I thank God for my vocation and the grace he's given me in these 60 years. My second Mass following these classes will again be another Mass, this time a Mass of petition, asking God to bless all those who have both provided for my vocation to the Society of Jesus and all those who have been channels of grace for me in the last 60 years. All I can tell you, I think the calendar is wrong. It cannot be 60 years. But I entered on September the 1st, 1936. And my companions see me off on the train from Cleveland to Cincinnati, where the novitiate was located. My companions, all my partners in theater, because I was on the stage for 6 years before I entered the Society of Jesus. Share with you the two classes we're planning for today. First on the Holy Eucharist, and secondly on the papacy. You just look briefly at your one-page synthesis on the real presence. Given the limited time at our disposal in these classes, in teaching theology, the normal sequence is at least 2 semesters, preferably 3 semesters, just on the Holy Eucharist, which over the years I've taught. Our focus, therefore, will be on the Holy Eucharist as real presence. Why? Because unless Christ is really present, body and soul, humanity and divinity, in the Holy Eucharist, there is no Eucharist. And the word, as you know by now, is used by so many people who do not believe in the real presence. By the year 1600, my Jesuit confrere, St. Robert Bellarmine, counted in the books that he had access to, he counted 200 interpretations of Christ's words at the Last Supper, "This is my body, this is my blood." There are now in the world over 4,000 Protestant denominations. And the main reason, hear it and don't forget, the main reason for the divisions in Protestantism, the main reason is on the meaning of the Eucharist. During this semester, the plan, therefore, is to cover in the first class the Church's teaching on the real presence, and we shall use as our textbook for the class. I trust you already have some pages. You have some pages from Paul the Sixth, Mysterium Fidei, History of Faith? You do. Good. But that will be your textbook for the first course on the Holy Eucharist. Pope Paul the Sixth did the unheard of thing of issuing a papal encyclical in the midst of the Second Vatican Council. And the reason he did that was because the Council, having issued its first document on the liturgy, said Paul the Sixth, "The liturgy is meaningless unless the faithful believe in the real presence and, as you know, and believe me, my 27th year in working for the Holy See, how well I know, under the guise of liturgical adaptation, in one diocese after another, oh, there are many liturgical changes, but as Paul the Sixth warned, the liturgy will be worse than useless unless the faithful believe in the real presence . I wish someone would make a study of how many people in the Archdiocese of Detroit still genuflect before the tabernacle. And behind our genuflecting before the Holy Eucharist is a loss of faith in the real presence. The gravity of the crisis on the real presence in the Catholic Church today. Consequently, the first class is on the real presence. The second class is on the papacy. Now, the method I will follow in teaching the first and the second class will be different. The method for teaching the first course on the Eucharist will be to use Mysterium Fidei, the mystery of faith, of Pope Paul the Sixth as our textbook. And, Lord willing, at least by the time I return from India by Christmas, I hope to have finished a catechism on the real presence based on Pope Paul the Sixth document called Mystery of Faith. Strong, clear, uncompromising doctrine on the real presence. You don't close 42 parish churches in Detroit. You don't close 62 parish churches in Chicago. You don't close 48 parish churches in Pittsburgh. You don't have seminarians, Catholic seminarians in the United States, dropping by 90% since the close of the Second Vatican Council, only 10% as many seminarians in Catholic seminaries today as there were 30 years ago, without a reason. This is the reason: a loss of faith in the real presence. And behind that loss of faith is a loss of faith in the priesthood. There are priests now petitioning the Holy See for a declaration of nullity of their priestly ordination on the grounds they never knew what they were being ordained to. Our second course on the papacy will have a different structure. There, I wish to concentrate on the organized opposition to the papacy in the modern world, which began with the rise of Protestantism. Most historians date the origins of the modern world with the rise of Protestantism. And there have been many major assaults on the papacy since the 16th century. And on October the 31st, 1517, Martin Luther, a priest and Augustinian monk, broke with the Roman Catholic Church. And the last major break, historically, among once professed Catholics, break with the papacy, is taking place now. I began reading last night. I did not finish the 10,000 word attack on the papacy by the just retired Archbishop John Quinn of San Francisco. Lectures which he went to England to speak at the University of Oxford. Clever, but vicious. We will therefore, regarding the papacy, take it in historical sequence, and then, of course, explain why these breaks with the papacy took place and how to defend the Vicar of Christ, his primacy and his infallibility against what I consider the most serious attack on the papal primacy going on in our day. And we better understand our faith. Otherwise, we'll just become further casualties in the by now mounting millions of once-believing Catholics who either give up their faith entirely or, worse still, oppose organized opposition to the Catholic Church as a call to action we'll do in Detroit in November of this year with bishops, behind the call to action. So far then for the introduction. I thought I would give you, and I'll sit down if you don't mind, to give an overview of the Church's teaching on the Real Presence. The first observation is that the Catholic Church is going through the gravest crisis in her 20 centuries of history. And the crisis is, at root, a crisis of faith. And the root of this crisis of faith is the mystery of the Eucharist. Not to know that is not to know what's going on in the Catholic Church. And the basic reason is obvious. In order to believe as a Catholic in the sacrifice of the Mass, in Holy Communion, and in the Real Presence, you must believe in all the other mysteries of Christianity. And among these mysteries of Christianity, all this needs to be said, is that when Christ died for us on the cross, sure, of course, he merited all the graces we need to be saved. But having merited those graces is not enough. He must receive these graces. Christ did his part, but we've got to do ours. And what is our part? We must have access to the graces which Christ won for us on Calvary, and we must, secondly, cooperate with these graces. And the most important source of these graces is the Holy Eucharist. At the Last Supper, when Christ instituted the Holy Eucharist, he told his followers, "Love one another as I have loved you." All the languages of the whole world recognize there are some people who are unlovable. The word is standard, which means there are some people who just cannot love. They were told to love one another, even as Christ has loved us. How can you love unlovable people? You cannot. Which over the years in teaching the theology of grace has been my favorite definition of grace. Grace is that which enables us to do the humanly impossible. Christ had to, by sheer divine logic, he unto having given us the command to love one another as he has loved us, even to dying for others, we must have the strength to do so. And the principal source of that grace is the living body and blood of Christ, the Holy Eucharist. Christ restored marriage to its state before the fall of our first parents. One husband, one wife, two in one flesh, until death. That is humanly impossible. Without the Holy Eucharist, the sacrament of marriage could not be faithfully observed, especially in the practice of fidelity and indissolubility. Always hear a lot about this when we take up the opposition to the papacy.